my lead.
I say, yeah, welcome back to another episode.
You want me to say welcome back?
Yeah.
Yeah? I was going to call everyone offsiders. You're going to hate that. No, we can discuss that.
Cheese.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then we can discuss it. That's the whole point. Okay. Anyway, okay. Welcome back to another episode of Slightly Offside. I'm your co-host, Victoria Rush.
And I'm your co-host, Amy Humphreys. And today we're joined with the amazing prop life, Gemma Norton, aka she does have a real name. Gemma, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. We're about surviving, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the year's not far enough in to be this tired already, but somehow I just feel like we're back to where we were, like post-World Cup chaos.
100%. Like, I feel like I've breathed twice since the World Cup, and now I'm suddenly twice. Like, oh my gosh, I'm back into it yet again.
Yeah. Literally. Yeah. How has life been for you?
You know what? It's been a real up and down over the last year. Like, I've been dealing with a lot of injuries. You know, we've had, like, personal bereavements and stuff. So I really took some time after the World Cup to just kind of be in my bubble, recenter. And it's done me a lot of good and kind of, yeah, get my head down, prioritise where I want to go and what I want to do. And I think that's really healthy sometimes, just to go into your little hole, you know, for a bit and hibernate, come back out fresh.
Yeah, press the reset. Sometimes you just need that, don't you? A bit of a switch up and some time to focus on yourself to be like, right, I'm ready.
Especially, yeah. I think when you do like what we do in content, you know, you give out so much of yourself externally and you never want to be fake and you never want to be inauthentic. And so when you're trying to seem positive through a burnout, to me, that's less genuine than saying, do you know what? I'm having a minute. Yeah. And then coming back when you're a bit fresher. So yeah, for me, it was about having that time just to go, I need a minute.
Yeah,
I'll be back.
And just quickly, for people who don't know you, could you give a little insight into what you do, where you work, and yeah, who you are?
Yeah. So if you haven't seen something unhinged and rugby related popping up on your Instagram or TikTok, that's, you know, that's my kind of content. I started making content similarly to you during the lockdowns. I was bored and lonely, as a lot of us are, and realized that my kind of rugby community was sat watching TikTok and Instagram, and I really missed those people. I also recognized that my younger self that really needed rugby was sat there watching all of these kind of videos. And so I thought, if I can get a couple more girls to pick up boots, then we're winning. And it's been a crazy whirlwind ever since, really.
I was actually going to say, you're talking about World Cup and hibernating. I was like, we did the exact opposite of that. Well, I think we nearly killed ourselves trying to be as out in France as possible.
I'm waiting to hibernate.
Yeah,
still.
I mean, it's literally, this stuff is how we all met. Yeah. We didn't know each other. We first met, we covered this before, we first met my premiere. We first met
Premiere as well.
I think that was the first time we met in person.
In person,
actually,
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Because like we've spoken across Instagram and stuff.
Yeah,
well, this is the thing with social media. You feel like you've met each other before you've actually 100%. Met each other in person, because there is obviously, it's women's rugby. Obviously, it's a massive passion. So when we have more women talking and promoting that sport, we just naturally like bond over that like shared passion. So I felt like I'd met you before I'd even actually met you in person. But I think we first met at the TikTok Six Nations launch.
Yes,
was
we
that
did.
2 years ago or 1 year ago now? Because there's already been another
it's
one.
It's almost three.
Wow, time's gone quick. Yeah, it was a while ago. But I remember that's the first time we met, and we end up doing line out lifts in front of the camera.
We threw Charlie.
Yeah. Standard.
I had exactly the same thing when I met Sam Love Rugby, because like she and I have connected, you know, across TikTok for over 3 years, and I finally met her in person about a year ago. And it's so strange walking up to someone who's so familiar but so new at the same time. It's like,
yeah. She was the OG of rugby TikTok, wasn't she?
100%. She's so great.
She was great.
Yeah, I guess like one of the things we were kind of, we always start with is just a little bit like what's going on in our lives, you know,
how life
we've
update.
Been, who we are. Yeah, call it life update. You called it spill the tea. I don't know if that's a name we should consider forever or not. Maybe we should ask people what we should name that kind of part.
Life
of it.
Update or spill the tea. There you go.
Yeah, it's been sensible this year a little bit more. Well, more than last year. I don't know what you were doing. It's losing my mind all over the world. Yeah, I tried to redecorate my house, painting, sucks.
Yeah, you got my own my opinion on all different shades of greys and beige, and I was beige. Like, who the fuck have we become? Like, what is this?
That's exactly
we're like
what happened.
In the living room, holding up pampa grass to the wall, being like, "Is this a nice colour to walk into?" And I'm like, "Yeah, who are we? I don't recognise."
Dry January really turned me into somebody I didn't think I was, and it turns out when I'm sober, I'm really, really boring.
Yeah. Your 20s is such a wild era. Like a few years ago, I was like, "Woo, I'm coming back at 3 a.m. and now I'm like, is bed that oat nine. Milk shade of wall paint or is that like chai?
Oh my god, yeah. So my mum actually messaged me when I was discussing colours of beige with my mum about painting the wall. She was like, is that latte or cappuccino? And I was like, when you paint that, like, this is really millennial because we all love coffee so much that now paint companies have started naming paint colours of coffee.
Yeah,
so that we'll buy it. Like, it was great ridiculous. Marketing. I was like, yeah, I was like, that's proper millennial marketing.
Flat white, I'll buy it.
Oat milk latte, sign me up.
So, they'll be doing like a green called avocado toast.
Yeah. Oh, I'd buy it. Just buy it. For the avocado. Yeah. Well, my life update, I was speaking to Gemma actually, is my dog and my puppy is sort of growing up into, I feel like this like teenage era where she's kind of being a little bit naughty. And Gemma used to be a dog trainer. I don't know if people know that, but yeah, we were having chats about how to get her to like basically not run off into the road. So that's been fun.
It's one of those things I could probably do a whole podcast on myself, but yeah. It's so normal for the age. And yeah, in my past life before being the prop life, I was a dog trainer and I've worked.
Was that your full-time job before you went onto TikTok for rugby?
Yeah, I spent a bit of time in office work for a bit off. I was self-employed before the pandemic and I saw like my colleagues and friends around me going having to use like food banks and stuff when the loans didn't come in.
My God.
I went, no, I'm what just gonna time? Get yeah I'm gonna get an office job. And just that's when I started doing TikToks because I was bored. And then after the pandemic I realized how burnt out and how like drained I'd become from it, and actually I love the dogs but couldn't deal with the people, so
mood.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, so that's when I changed direction. But yeah, that was me past kind of my past life, as I call it. I've worked at Battersea Dogs Trust.
You got a favorite dog breed?
Oh, I have a beagle.
Okay, cute.
So
cute.
I love working with scent hounds. They're so smart. And she's the one dog out of probably close to 1,000 dogs that I've worked with that will look you dead in the eye and just go, yeah, but why should I?
Oh, mine does that. That's genuinely. Oh, he looks at you and goes,
your dog's wild.
No.
I can't even say that anymore. Cool.
Yeah. Wait until yours is the same age as mine.
Yeah.
Mine is now absolutely insane. Bless my mum. She's so stressed out with him because she kind of sees him as a grandchild because he technically is my baby. And then obviously not really.
Tell me you're a millennial without telling me.
Yeah, absolutely. Made all my decisions based around the dog. And mum's like, well, I want him to be okay. I want him to have a great life. She feeds him 4 times a day. What? He gets fed better than I did growing up with my mum. It's insane.
We've been having
happy.
Like 1 meal a day recently, haven't we? Anyway, too busy.
I haven't eaten proper, fed myself, but mum's feeding the dog. Yeah. But yeah, women's rugby, women's Six Nations. I'm going to jump straight into it. It starts now.
I am so happening. Excited.
What's going on there, an NFL commentator that screams into the mic, it's happening!
Six Nations. Yeah, so how excited are you?
Honestly, like 11 out of 10. And every year I sit on a podcast and I go, this year it's going to be the biggest one yet. Yeah. And then every year it just keeps getting bigger and better. You know, last year we had over 58,000 people sat at Twickenham roaring.
Is that the number?
Yeah, and I cried. I literally cried.
Oh my God. So I cried on the way home and had to ring you the next day to understand why I was crying. I thought it was...
Yeah.
I thought I was drunk. I had only had 2 drinks. I was like, what's wrong with me? I was literally bawling my eyes out, sat on a train home from Twickenham to Earlsfield. Yeah. I didn't know what was wrong with me.
So I was lucky enough to actually be delivering the match ball that day. Mm. And I did the player
of
the match as well.
What a day.
And I walked on that pitch and over 58,000 people were roaring for women's rugby, and I was getting choked up.
I even feel like now
it felt like the biggest FU to the idiots in my comment section, or the idiots that have turned me away from club facilities, or the people that have kicked me out of club facilities repeatedly when I went back in. You know, all those people that have ever stood in the way. And I'm also conscious that I come to rugby at a more privileged point than a lot of other people did. You know, we've had the older Red Roses who have been absolutely chipping away, you know, people like Giselle Mather as well, like, who's done an incredible job. I'm privileged, but I still have battles, and I think it's being aware of like the people that started that snowball. So when 58,000 people were roaring, and I was just like, for everyone that says no one watches it, and for everyone that says like it doesn't matter, there's
fuck
nearly
you.
60,000
yeah,
people.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Yeah, I was sideline on the pitch, and at what, do you remember at, right at the end,
I remember.
Everybody stayed and sung, was it Sweet Caroline?
Yeah.
And I was just there, and I just lost my mind at one point, and was just singing in the middle of all this noise. I'd never heard it at a women's game before, just jumping up and down. There's this video, and I was just like,
God, and Sugar Babes were there.
So
honestly,
good.
I was fangirling. This was like living my like inner child as
I
well.
I became legally the fourth Sugar Babe.
Wait, you did? You got a selfie with them?
I will not be taking questions on that. Legally, I have become the fourth Sugar Babe. So,
we'll
any suggestions on my Sugar Babe name? Please do, you know,
what
submit
are their
them.
Names? Do they have? Is it like Spice Girls where they have like cool names, or
no,
are they just the Sugar Babes?
They just have really cool names in general.
In general,
like, as
okay.
people,
nice.
You got like Mutia, Heidi. I'm pulling a total blank now on the Sugar Babes' names, but they all have.
Girl,
really,
if you're the fourth Sugar Babes, you better get to know them.
I know.
The other names.
I know. But yeah.
No, I love that for you. That was really, really fun. I actually remember seeing the selfie, and I was like, that is just the best picture I've ever seen.
Do you know what as well? Like,
so good.
Like, you know, I've had the privilege of meeting some really cool people, and you never know quite how they're going to be. They're either going to be lovely,
yeah.
or you kind of like, okay, oh. that stole a bit of my joy. The Sugar Babes could not have been nicer. They were so lovely. I was like, oh, do you mind if I just have a little selfie?
Yeah,
and they were so, yeah, girl, come on, get in here. Like, Mucci basically grabbed me in like a headlock of love, and I was just like, this is one of the best days of
so
my life.
Cool, so cool.
They say don't meet your idols, but some, you know what, I've heard that a lot recently,
yeah.
and every single person's come back and gone, you should meet your idol.
Yeah.
I think, actually, I mean, there's probably one or two that are just knobs, and you're like, you should have known that was coming.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, go meet your idols, especially if they're women's 100%. Rugby.
I think
come meet me. You should. I'm great.
Yeah.
I think, like, with meet your idols, it either, like, totally reinforces why you love them, or it takes you so far in the other direction and gives you a wake-up call.
Mm.
And that stings at the time, but actually it's valuable in the long run.
Yeah, 100%. Literally, there's only one person that I met within rugby that I was like, oh, I'm a bit disappointed. But apart from that, everyone else that I've met, I do generally just like feel like they've lived up to my expectation. And what do you feel like this, like, about this kind of sport that is such a tight-knit community,
yeah.
that even at the international level, this is the difference with rugby, I think, from other sports, but even at the international level, you can actually kind of become friends with these people. They're just so accessible.
They're just like, I think the Red Roses in particular are so aware of the example that they set. So they are aware that thousands of little girls now look to them.
Yeah.
And it's about what attitude makes a Red Rose. Is it someone that pushes the fans away, the little girls that have paid to come and see them? Or is it someone that hugs them, takes a selfie? Like, for me, Zoe Oldcroft is one of the people that absolutely embodies that the most.
Yeah, she's great.
She came off the pitch at Twickenham and I was like, and she looked at me like, and which just gave me a massive hug, and it's just, she's just such a lovely human, and I think that is what we want 23 times over in our Red Roses squad.
Literally,
so,
you don't see you don't see many other players apart from on this women's side doing the worm like Hannah Botterman does pitch side. I mean, like, that's the kind of players that we're getting access to, and it's just like they show their personality, and they're so like, they want the game to grow as well, so that's why they've got time for people. And it's showing, isn't it? Like how well the game's growing. So
yeah, a couple of years ago, Red Roses open training session at Twickenham, Hannah Botterman signed a guy's calf and he got it tattooed to his leg.
I
do you know what? I've got his phone number somewhere. I'm gonna find it and we'll put that back together, because I think I also have the clip of her signing it.
That's so good.
And like that, you'd never have thought that for female athletes, like even a couple of years ago, and it was a lad that did it. So I was like, do you know what? That shows what Hannah Botterman means to any rugby player. Doesn't matter their gender. And I was like, yeah, that was like one of those moments as if this is happening around me right now.
And guys like that as well. Like we were joking earlier about like the alpha male podcasts, but guys like that are whatever the other end of the spectrum of that is.
Yeah.
Like they are so comfortable in their allyship and their masculinity. Like they are the kind of people I want to surround myself with constantly, because they shout about women's sport and they're not just because it's becoming cool.
Yeah.
They shout about it because they've actually turned up and watched it. They've seen the quality of the sport and they've seen the quality of the people behind it as well. And again, those people are setting great examples, not just those little girls turning up, but to their dads who are maybe coming along watching a women's rugby game for the first time. Those guys are examples to other men, and I literally just want to go and give every guy that is like that genuinely a hug.
Because we appreciate
you.
Right, Gemma, the reason we're here, the reason we have all the guests on our show is to bring us the best stories from rugby. That's why we're here. So it's your time in the hot seat.
So, I mean, what can I say without, you know, getting myself into hot water?
Just get yourself into hot water.
It doesn't have to be you. It could be a story of someone else.
It could be anonymous, so, you know, take your chances.
So no names, no clubs, and no locations.
Unless it's about you.
And you
want to
give them.
Yeah.
But I mean, I went out for one beer once and came home 18 hours later in a monk costume with a limp.
I need an explanation of that.
Dissect.
You know when someone's like, no context, no, I need the context in this one. I just suddenly got this image of you.
I went out for one beer. 18 hours later, I came out.
Do you know what made it so great?
I think I can imagine you walking, because I've been in your flat, I can imagine you walking in your front door. That's the part that just hit me. I'm like, dead. Stood in your corridor, like, what the fuck?
The beautiful part was that, of that was, I actually lived with my mum still at the time. So,
sorry, mum. Sorry, all rugby mums out there, by the way.
Mum, if you're watching this, I'm so sorry.
I'm so excited.
So she literally was sat on her laptop and she looked right and there's me coming back looking like I've literally crawled through a hedge.
Dying.
And I was just like, I look like Gollum's sister.
Have you got a picture
Gollum's
of this?
Sister.
Honestly, I think I have somewhere. I'll have to find one for you. But yeah, basically.
Wait, how did this happen, please?
So it was.
All been for one beer. You know what it means.
One beer.
One beer.
I know. Well, the thing was, there was a rugby social, but I wasn't fully
invested. One beer.
But I wasn't invested in it, genuinely. Like, I was just like, oh, I'll go along for a beer. Like, I've got my costume now. Mm. I'll just go along for a beer. And then it's typical rugby social. It escalated really fast. And we're all drinking, all the Scottish viewers will appreciate this, Buckfast tonic wine, which I don't know if you've ever drunk.
I've heard of Buckfast, but I don't know about...
So it's brewed in Buckfastly in Devon, but it's become like the national drink of Scotland. Really rogue. It's a tonic wine. It's about 14%, but it's also caffeinated.
Yeah.
So,
oh no,
I need that in the morning.
The also important
alcohol and caffeine.
Yeah, to wake me the fuck up.
Honestly, it'll just put you back in the grave, mate.
Amy, functioning alcoholic.
But like the other important piece of context,
I'm so excited.
This as well, we can play and touch rugby all day. So that's why, as well, I wasn't really committed to the social. I was like, I'll play the rugby, like, I'll have a couple of beers and then go home. And so dehydrated, haven't been in the sun. Buckfast tonic wine, horrible combination. So yeah, that's how I went for one beer and returned 18 hours later in a monk costume with a limp.
Do you know what? I'll say that there is something for drinking like sevens tournaments. One of my friends and I used to do sevens tournaments where we refused to drink water during game time. So the only I'm gonna have to get Chloe on here, but I'm gonna have to censor all the stories, or at least have to approve them in advance.
The NDA will be bad.
Yeah, a bit of a really long list of things she can't ever share. Yeah.
You'll be coming up with all the fake names. You'll be like, Jackie.
Do you know what? I used to name. I can't believe I'm doing this. I used to name my drunk self Nick.
The hell?
Because I had such a different personality when I was that drunk that I had a drunk alter ego called Nick.
Nick. I love
it. Yeah, and then
I used to just be like, that wasn't me, that was Patricia.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Look,
God,
if you had
Patricia.
If you had that conversation with Nick, it doesn't mean you necessarily had it with me. So take it up with Nick.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, because I wouldn't remember anything, so you couldn't have a go at me because I didn't know what happened.
Mine could be Jamie.
Yeah. Everyone gets. Yeah, everybody on here now also needs to give themselves a drunk nickname.
Yeah, what's your drunk nickname?
So there was one Richmond Sevens social, summer social.
Oh no.
Sevens, and everyone would run on the water.
Yeah.
But for us, we couldn't have water, so it would probably be a can of gin and tonic or something like that.
Yeah.
Which isn't a good idea anyway. I mean, you spend all day in the sun, you're drinking, you're dehydrated,
yeah.
Sevens, and then you get to the end of the day and you're drinking anyway.
Yeah.
And all I really remember after the game, and like there's the the music on and the DJ and everything. And I remember mixing a can of black cider with gin. Like, my alcohol needed more alcohol. Anyway, I passed out in a field, lost my phone. Chloe tried to put my shoes back on my feet. I don't know why they weren't on in the first place. Back on my feet by putting me on the bonnet of a car to sit. Well, she put the shoe on my foot. Anyway, I fell over as soon as she let go of me. Somehow got back to her house with all our friends. And I was like, I'm going home. And she just went, fine. If you can order a cab, knowing I'd already lost my phone. So if you can order a cab, you can go home.
Yeah.
Anyway, she found me passed out on the landing about 20 minutes later because that's as far as I'd made it. Woke up in the morning. Obviously no idea what had happened. So we found my iPhone all the way back into Richmond in the middle of one of the fields. It was just still there.
That is mad.
I don't think people appreciate this about you. But like when you're drunk, Nick is part fainting goat as well. Like you're just like, I nap now. I'm done.
Yeah, there is just a point where I finish. I just cannot go any longer. And I'm like, I now must be asleep.
Yeah, it's decided.
And you'll go from being like, bop to stop as well.
God, this Nick guy.
That happened at the World Cup. On the third day, I just stopped being able to drink anymore. And one of the girls said, you just went from being absolutely fine to just stood there, sort of swaying in a circle. She's like, I must take her home. And I was like, I'm out.
Yeah. That's also actually leading on to my other quite good grassroots rugby story.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
So, there is a photo of me on a Facebook community page dressed as Superwoman in high heels carrying my best mate over my shoulder.
Mm. What a photo. That's like rugby in a picture.
Do you want the power caption? Woman. Not all heroes wear capes, but some literally do, was the caption.
Oh, yeah.
Literal cape.
You're carrying a drunk friend home, were you?
So
that's pretty impressive with heels
she did
on.
What I'm now calling a Nick Rush.
It used to be called getting Vicky Rush drunk at uni. It was actually a thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. She did a Nick Rush. So she was literally dancing and she looked at me and I looked at her. And you know when you just see the lights go out? And she was just like, I'm done. So I'm holding her under the armpits and I'm trying to dance.
It's like the worst 7-year-old disco.
Literally
kind of
the sweatiest place to grab something.
Yeah. I was like, this is either she's either going to be here or on the floor.
Either way, I need to hold this.
You did what you had to do. As any true friend would.
Lord's work. And the bouncer looked at me, and I looked at him, and he just kind of looked at me as if to say, absolutely not.
Not today.
I started walking her outside, but you know when your mate has really, like, violent spaghetti legs?
Yeah. I'm that person, yeah.
So I was just, like, trying to walk her, but the legs were just not legging. And so I was just like, well, we're about 200 yards from the taxi rank. So I just went, come here, popped her over my shoulder, and that kind of, again, drunk rigor mortis. Like, they don't help you at all.
Oh, dead weight.
If anything, not dead help.
Yeah, it is like, they seem to double in weight. Anyway, I'm walking along with my mate over my shoulder who is bless her. She's had a few beverages. And I didn't realise that someone across the other side of Exmouth Town Centre had clearly seen this, found it hilarious and taken a photo.
Oh my God.
So there's a picture of me and I wake up the next day and I check through my phone and I'm like, that looks like, oh, that was
Exeter
me.
Exeter spotted Facebook group.
Literally.
Who the hell was this superhero in heels carrying a woman over her shoulder?
Literally. Caption, not all heroes wear capes, but some literally
really
do.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I love that. You've made it in life when you've made it into your town's spotted Facebook group.
For a good reason.
Isn't it? Yeah. Like, you wake up and you're tagged in stuff and there's a lot of notifications like, what?
Did I
open this or do I live in blind ignorance for as long as possible?
It's why I actually started putting my phone in like sleep mode when I go like out for a few drinks because it would stop me picking my phone up to like look at a notification and then be like, no, I'm going to get a selfie. And there's me like,
I got a few of those.
Yeah. it stopped me doing that.
Hey guys, it's Vic here. Just bringing you a quick message from the best sponsor for our podcast, Budgie Smuggler. They have a special discount code just for our listeners. Visit budgiesmuggleruk.com and enter the code OFFSIDE15 to get 15% off their Six Nations flag range, as well as their official England Rugby and Wales Rugby Budgie Smugglers.
So this is your butt clencher moment of the week, brought to you by Budgie Smugglers. So Big up budgies. Yeah, as you can see. So the grassroots people have sent me in their embarrassing stories or...
Love it.
Yeah, whatever. It could be embarrassing. It could be, about your coach, people on your team. It doesn't even have to be about you or something that you've heard because it's all anonymous. This is the beautiful thing about this podcast. So nobody will know. How will they know?
Until you hear one about yourself. I'm really worried one of these will be about me and at the end of the story I'll realise, but I'm never going to know because I don't read them. This is what, one thing I love. Like, I know what's happening, but this is the one thing I'll never know that Amy's always seen before. And sometimes she's like...
Vic doesn't see these ones. So.
I'll get a message mid-week to go, one of these stories this week is going to be bloody brilliant. I'm like,
Amy's like, rolls up. Yeah.
Right. So this got sent in. We were asking about stories about people's coach, rugby coach. Okay, so this come in. It said, the day after England lost in the Women's Rugby World Cup final, our coach turned up to training in the New Zealand jersey. Bear in mind, we had all got up early and gone to the rugby club to watch it together the morning before. We were not impressed.
Oh. I think you'd be allowed to punch a coach for that.
But also as well,
I'm okay with that.
If he's genuinely a New Zealander, though.
I don't know if he was, or whether he was just annoying.
Was he just doing it out of spite?
This is what we need to know. See, we only ever hear a little bit of the story, but...
We need more context, people. If you're going to turn around and go, it's actually our Welsh coach, you'd get it, and you'd be like, arsehole, but of course he was going to do it.
He was also firing up some rage for the game.
Maybe this was his tactic, like, you guys are lazy and you're not training hard enough, so I'm going to piss you off into training harder. And I'm going to make you, But to be fair... They'll piss you off to make you run faster.
Lessons on not having Amy as a coach, apparently.
Oh yeah, no, it's not something I'm willing
hashtag
to do.
Coaching with Amy.
I can tell you all about it. It's not fun.
No. To be fair, after I had to stop playing rugby, people were like, are you going to still be rugby with Amy? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, I do a lot of rugby stuff. But then, I tried netball out and I was like, netball with Amy? No, it's not the same.
It's not the same.
I don't know if you get the same as me as well, Amy, because you're fairly tall as well.
Yeah.
Like, at least two or three times a year, I get approached by different places. So,
because
I do strong women and stuff as well, but I get MMA quite a lot.
Okay, nice.
I get approached by MMA quite a lot.
What for?
Just try out the sport.
I think I just look like I want to get punched in the face. I don't know. But I just have a go.
To have a go
as well.
Would you have a go?
Do you know what? Not MMA, not boxing. One of the reasons I've sadly put my boots down is I just need to limit my head knocks now. And
It's
something we're all conscious of. But yeah, that's why I'm choosing to go into a strength sport rather than something where I can obtain more head knocks. Really.
So I've started boxing, but just for fitness. I'm not going to fight. Even though my competitive side, when I was younger, I did boxing for 3 years as well. But that was, I tried every sport under the sun. Hashtag ADHD. So that's that.
Same disease.
Three of us.
I'm sure all the time. Even, was it, it was.
You can smell the ADHD in the room right now.
I was sat in the stands trying to explain something and then just went, look at that.
I was like, what? Squirrel.
Every time.
Do you know how we can tell, right? Is the fact that we've done one story
in the last
one. We've been going
moment of the week, right.
Got a tangents do be tangenting.
What do I want for dinner? No, wait, hang on. Right, so... Okay, so this one's good. So when I was in my last year of junior rugby, I was in a match and it was the one time I didn't wear undershorts. I had a pair of shorts that were slightly too big for me. Anyway, long story short, I got tackled and it was such an awkward tackle that the ref saw my whole vagina and I'm pretty sure he saw my future. He was that close.
Do you know what? I love the wording of that so much.
So good. The girl clearly had excellent aim because I had underwear on. She just managed to manoeuvre it perfectly. Imagine flashing the ref your whole fadge.
So I wear...
He saw my future. Imagine what his eyes look like when you looked up.
That poor ref. I wear I wear oddballs quite a lot.
Boxer
style ones. So I don't really wear undershorts and people are like, but what if they see your oddballs? I'm like, they're just seeing some pants, aren't they?
By your oddballs, I thought you meant your oddballs. That'd be more sense for a boy.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. But yeah, it's okay if they see your budgies underneath or something like that.
It is what it is now. It's Jesus as well.
To actually have your mini Well, actually, there was a picture of a girl we played against. Obviously, you get sent all the photos after the game, and there was one just off her vagina, out in the shorts. And the word, that's even worse than, like, oh, the ref saw it because it's a photo.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
the
that
photographer
can't go
didn't
anywhere.
Think to, like, not
Maybe,
include that
I think
that
he
one.
Just uploaded to Dropbox before editing or anything. And then there was just this photo.
A word to all photographers. Just double check. It doesn't take long without editing to just
check for
be
any
sure.
fannies.
Yeah. Check for vaginas. Would you? Thanks. Oh, I don't play anymore. This isn't even for me. None of us play anymore. This is for all the future women who forget their undershorts.
Yeah, literally. So moving on from black butt clenching moment of the week. I've got a few
Jem said she had icks. Do you have a list of icks?
I have an ick.
She
out
gets
that.
Out the notes section
my God,
on her phone.
Great. Okay,
let's
we'll
hear
start
it.
With icks.
I don't even need the notes section for this one because, and I feel like I may get some echoes throughout the room with this one. It's going nowhere.
Oh,
she don't want it.
You what?
She don't want it. I'm even if it's my own team, I'm like, that's very embarrassing. Are you not embarrassed? Like, honestly, it makes me so. There's something about it. I'm just like, what's it going to do? Like, it's already in the air. You're not going to put her off the wind, you know? I just don't.
Do you think that sideline chat does put people off in the game? Can you? I don't really hear it when I'm playing anyway.
I think it depends on the volume. Like, I've had games where I've literally, so I played against a team and their supporters were known for being really, really unpleasant.
I hate clubs like that.
I know a few clubs like
that's
that.
That's
literally
in
so
itself.
I remember I was about to go into a scrum and they were going, break their necks, break their legs.
No.
And I was like,
No.
That's
not rugby.
That's exactly, that's just so un-rugby. But even like for me, that like little bit of like, oh, it's going nowhere, I'm just like, that's just not very rugby.
No.
It's just not, it's not cute.
No,
it's not cute, you're right.
Well, someone said their rugby ick was backs.
Just off.
Backs.
Hang on.
Vic Rush has exited the group chat.
I was absolutely. Who is that? Give me their name. These things are not anonymous.
But yeah, backs. I was a back, went and moved into the forwards, so I feel like I won't give them as bad talk
as
because
if.
I was one.
I have a
what is wrong with backs?
I have played approximately shirts 1-5, but I did play 9 once in the Lily Partridge Memorial game. I think I'm the tallest scrum half that ever existed ever.
You're going to say that in the men's and women's game, you hands down are the tallest scrum half 100%. That's ever existed.
Do you know what's really funny though? There's a great picture of me, right? And because I'm so used to being in a scrum, I fed in the ball and kind of went, oh, that's a really good scrum. The next thing I know, I've got their 8, right? Because the ball's come out for me to pick it up. Their 8 basically just went John Cena and just absolutely clapped me. And I was like, oh.
Imagine if they were half your size and that happens to them every week. That's a 9's job.
I know. It made me appreciate, as much I have given 9's jip on the internet for like nearly 4 years now, like I will always respect them genuinely because, I got clapped once.
I did, played 9 once. And I don't know a large number of the rules when it comes to a scrum because I'm a fullback. I am far away from this problem. I was about to feed the ball in and someone went, other side, and I was like,
oh, no.
why didn't the ref tell me? The ref has stood in the correct place and not bothered telling me. You could see it. He was like purposely being difficult.
Yeah.
I was like, I obviously don't know what I'm doing and I'm just trying to play a game of rugby so my mates can have a good day out. Why couldn't you have gone, since you've not done this before, just so as you know it's over here, instead of just waiting to penalise me for it? That really got me.
That's another big ick of mine as well, petty refs. So,
I can't stand them.
If there is a decision that is for or against my team, but it's fair, I've got no issue with that. But like, for example, again, I've been to games where one of our players who's known for having a bit of a hot head, ref knew who she was straight out of the bat. We were screwed from the moment we turned up. And actually, what's frustrating is she's been working really hard
to not be like that.
To not be like that, exactly. And so I was really frustrated. I was like, this girl's been working hard to prove that she's doing better. And actually, you're kind of just shooting her in the foot before she started.
And let's, be honest, people start playing rugby. Well, a lot of people have a story as to why they're playing rugby. So that could have been, like, her thing is that I want to, like, channel this energy and this, built up aggression or something and 100%. Put it into a sport. And then, it's just a bit annoying, like, if a ref's just actually, like, targeting you because of that. Because it's actually, like, that's what rugby can help release in you, you know, so that's frustrating. But another rugby ick is, sorry, backs telling forwards to do better in scrums.
Do you know what? No, I'm not having that. I don't think I know a back who would ever say that. Because I'm going to wander over. Okay, yeah, but I wouldn't count them as backs. They're just the gobby people in the middle.
I had a centre once trying to give me second rowing advice, and I was like, and I'll always be like, okay. Yeah, and no. I just reached that point where we'd had like 100 scrums that day, and they were just a hard, you know, when you have, Amy, you'll appreciate this, when you just have a bad day in the office scrums-wise, and you do, they're just a better team, you just have a bad day, and you can pull out every single trick of the book, they're just a better team. Mm. And she's like, so you just need to be like driving more with your legs, and I was like, mate, just, I love you, shut up, go away.
Drive more with your legs, what a piece of advice for scrummaging.
I was like, mate, I love you,
Should we swap for a minute and you can try it?
Well, we've all seen backs get involved in scrums at international level. When Johnny May stuck his head between the legs of the prop, and we were like, this says everything about how little backs have ever been taught about scrummaging.
But Danny Kerr jumps on the back of a scrum. And then they go like over the line, and he's like, yeah. And I was like, Han, that wasn't you. Just because you were touching someone's shoulder and like kind of pushing, he was like, yeah, I did that. And I was like, no.
When you're in a mall, right, and the mall's swinging around all over the place, like it's a really out of control mall, and then somehow a back has got sucked into it like a whirlpool. I'm like, how did you get here? Yeah. Oh, hey, babe. Ariana, what are you doing here? Yeah.
You're lost. Could someone come and collect their child from aisle 5?
Did your mum give you permission to be here?
Yeah. Where's your permission slip, please?
Do you have armbands on?
Yeah. Do you need me to call in the checkout for your mum to come and get you?
I can give you one more rugby ick of mine.
Bring it.
When teams win or lose and they are just so dog shit about it, to be really blunt, the best piece of coaching advice, and it always sticks with me to this day, it was my first ever game at like a inner warrior level women's team, and my coach turned around to us and went, win or lose, just don't be shit. And so if you win, don't be a shit winner. Yeah. If you lose, don't be a shit loser. And it stuck with me for the rest of my life. And I've played against shit winners and shit losers. And like, if you win, you fully deserve to celebrate that, especially if it's been a hard game. But also there's just a line, you know, when you just...
Oh, and they're singing.
Well, when they're turning around afterwards to you being like, you're shit kind of thing. I'm just like,
I hate
again,
it
not
when
cute.
They're singing like their awful chants after a game. That just like grinds on you when you've lost and the other team are like singing their songs. And I'm like, no, I can't listen to this right now.
And then the same if you lose. And then like I've had people even turn around like places like Facebook being like, well, the ref was on her side anyway. Ref might as well have had their colours on. And I was sat behind some people the other week at my own club that were giving all this in my ear. And I'm just like, it's just not cute.
It's not a game cute of rugby. Like, let's enjoy it.
It's not even like it's an international game we're talking about here. Like, who cares? Just let it go. We're just here on a Saturday, Sunday to have a laugh.
100%.
And play some sport. Whether or not, look, winning and losing is important. And I am very much for, I hate losing, very much for winning. But having a go at people for it doesn't matter. It's not the be all and end all. You're not getting paid.
Rugby is like known for being like a respectful sport as well. Like, you tackle someone, you help them back up kind of thing. And I love it at the end of a game when before they start celebrating, they'll come over to you, they'll shake your hand and you'll all chat and then they celebrate and stuff. And I'm like, but they've made the like choice to come and be respectful first. Yeah. And I always really appreciate that. But that shows you a good team.
Like, I play against Anya quite regularly, the chatty prop. And like, to the point, we're just stupid when we play against each other. Yeah. So like, she ran at me, and Anya has got one of the lowest center of gravities I've ever seen in a human being. She is like trying to tackle a freight train, like in the most respectful way. Because, and I've told her she's this great as well, she's just demonic powerful when she runs at you, so powerful. And she ran at me. I didn't get low enough because, again, when I fold myself to tackle, it's like a deck chair in the wind. And she just boshed me over. And she was like, "Oh, mate, I hope you're right." I was like, I just should have been better in that scenario. Yeah.
You did good.
You did good.
Yeah,
you did good.
You're just good.
And like, we'll be in scrums and stuff, and because I often second row now, and she'll be in front row on the opposite side. So I'll look her in the eye, and I'll be like, "Cause I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. And she's just like trying not to laugh at me. And then I'm just like crouching. I'm like, hey, the little mama, let me whisper in your ear. Horrendous. Yeah.
I feel like Scrum Banner is, there's definitely a Scrum Banner, isn't there, with other teams?
Oh, I've had props full on trying to be all like Aggie in my face. And I'm like, has anyone ever told you you're beautiful?
I'd rather kill him with kindness.
Honestly, it really throws the people that are in front row because they're just aggressive. It really throws them out when you kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
I'm like, 100%. I love your hair today. Yeah. Did you plait that yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, kill them with kindness and it really throws them out.
So good, so good. So, random question. What would you say is your most toxic trait about yourself?
Oh, that's deep.
to think about.
I am really, like, I give a lot of love for a lot of people, but I am very bad at like answering my phone and stuff. So like, for example, any one of my friends throughout the entire work could call me in the middle of the night, any time of day, and I would literally take a plane, take a bus, I'd be by their side. But like, if you just message me during the week, I'll be like, aha, I need to open that, and then I'll be like, oh, I blinked and 3 days went past.
Yeah,
so I now leave
that's
people
iffy ock as well. Iffy ock is the same.
I'm like that.
He's awful at replying. His New Year's resolution was to reply to people.
Really?
Vic, but like, toxic trait?
Well, this is definitely one of mine. Yeah. I currently have 5 unread messages and some of them go back a good... August. Oops.
August.
One of them's from August.
Yeah, I now leave
that's a no reply at this point.
Yeah, I leave people on unread until I'm like ready to deal with it.
But that's what I do. Sometimes I accidentally open it and then have to put it back on unread to remind myself to go back and read it. So sometimes people think I've ignored them. I haven't. It's just the fact that I know I haven't got time to read it yet or do the thing they need me to do. So put it on unread and come back to it later. But sometimes, as you can see,
and then
8 months, 9 months later.
And then I know I'm like that as well. But then the other way around, if someone doesn't reply to me, I'm like, oh my God, they
hate
me.
Yeah.
They hate me. Yeah. They never want to speak to me again. What have I done? Like, and then I rack through my brain. I'm like, what could I have possibly have done to upset them or offend them? Like, my brain goes into overdrive really quick as well.
Yeah, I feel you.
What's yours, Amy?
My toxic trait, I've got a few.
Yeah. Which one?
I've got a few. Like, I will randomly start talking about something as if you know what I'm talking about, but I've already started the conversation in my head. So I might just be like, we need to, like, we're going to do that, and then we're going to go here, and they're like, Amy, what are you on about? Like, what are you? And then I have to be like, oh, for the podcast, I was thinking, and then she's like, right, yeah, now I know the full story. But I start a story in my head, and then I say, like, half of it, and expect people to understand me.
I do exactly
that's
the same.
That's ADHD, that.
Classic. Another one is, like, saying things before I think. Like, I don't think about when's a good time to say something. I think that thing and I say it. So it's not always, like, the right time.
I feel like you should rename this section from toxic traits to, like, ADHD trait of the week.
ADHD trait of the week. Yeah, that's a vibe, to be fair.
But also, as well on that, like, jokes aside, like, a lot of ADHD traits in women are seen so negatively because there's still the stereotype.
I love mine.
Well, there's still the stereotype with kind of neurodivergency in women. You know, you think of neurodivergence, a lot of people still think of the naughty little boy that couldn't sit still in the classroom. Mm. Whereas actually you get women who are so functional in a lot of ways, but then struggle so hard in some areas. Yeah. And I think a lot of people who look like extroverts, they are often the people that, again, like, I need to go home and process. And 100%. I need to...
Yeah, that is me.
And I think I found a lot of people in the creative industry are very similar, because usually if you have ADHD or you just have like an overactive mind or quite like you have a lot of thoughts, you're a bit of an overthinker, you generally have a lot of ideas as well. And I think what comes with that is like that creative side. And I think when you have an outlet for that creativity, it's great. But I struggled in like a normal job with those thoughts because I just want to do more and more and more and then kind of not know where to put that energy. Whereas now it's like rugby content. I can put all of that energy into it and feel like, but I'm the same as you. When I've done that, like when I've had a busy week of like events and filming and matches, I do have to like reset at home, and I really enjoy my alone time as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's usually like you say, extroverts kind of need a bit of time on their own, because we have like a very high social battery, but when it runs out, it really runs out.
And that's the thing, I don't make New Year's resolutions because, again, my brain doesn't work well with sticking to them. But the resolution I made myself over last year was about like creating more boundaries and being more solid with them, and like the and not being impolite, but just being better with boundaries. So saying to people, hey, I'm not ignoring you, but I'm just taking a day to process. I've had a really busy couple of days. Love you, and I'll speak to you in a few days.
Yeah.
And
I might save that in a note and just reply it to people sometimes. Just be like, this isn't me ignoring you. It's just I need a few days. I was going to say, my toxic trait is definitely my impulsiveness. Because I can make plans for months in advance and someone will come up to me and go, do you want to go do this really cool thing? And I'm like, I won't even look at what I'm supposed to actually be doing or who I've made plans with or whatever it is, and I'll just like get on a plane and go somewhere.
Yeah.
And instead of like planning things, I think I also spend a lot of time running away from my problems, terrified of commitment. Other toxic trait. And so I'll just, someone goes, let's go do this thing, I'm like, rather than dealing with all the other things I know I need to do, I'm going to go and do something really cool that's going to entertain my brain over here. Like last year, I've been in my flat now 11 months and I have done zero to it. Like nothing. I had all these plans before I moved in. I spent 6 months buying the place. Like I was staying with you at that point and I was like, what's going on? I can't wait to move in. Got in and got a new job. And then everyone went, do you want to go here? Do you want to do this? And I just went, yes. And never at any point sat back and went, you do actually have human adult priorities. You cannot keep getting on an aeroplane and just fucking off around the world to watch rugby.
I think you need a safe space to come home to. Like, and when you make that space like your personality and you feel comfortable and you've decorated it and it's got like all your favourite things there, it's actually like this place where you don't have to put on any like persona. You can just be yourself. And when you, but if you don't create that space, you'll kind of feel like the itch to go somewhere,
that's
do something.
Mistake I made.
And coming now, you're getting
and coming home as well to people who fill your pot, like positively. A lot of people misunderstand Matt, my partner, because when you meet him for the first time, he'll be quite quiet and he takes his minute to kind of figure things out. Whereas I'm like, hi, but actually he's very steady. He's very stubborn at times. He won't mind me saying that because he's stubborn as a rock. But also on the flip side, he's my stable and he's my safe space. Yeah. And I come home and I can go and do exciting things all over the place. But I come home and I just sit with him and I just feel okay. And that was what made me know that, again, he was my person. Like, because I think I bring him out of his shell a little bit and I encourage him to try new things.
And he tells you to get back in yours and chill out a little bit. Yeah,
I always say a good friendship's when you can sit in silence and not feel like you need to like fill that space. And you can just sit there and just enjoy each other's company without even saying anything. That's
Have your people.
Yeah.
I bought a really big sofa. That's my person.
Your people can be your friends also.
But are you happy coexisting with it?
It's the most comfortable sofa in the world, and now I do want to go home to it. So, swings and roundabouts, silver linings.
And I'll stay on it eventually. Yeah. We'll also do some challenges on it eventually as well. Some acrobats.
I spent too much money on that sofa. You are going nowhere near it.
Well, you guys know she just said she's scared of commitment. Well, I make her commit to doing some of these yoga poses, 100%. Challenges all the time.
I dislocated my thumb
doing it,
in
but
January.
She will do it.
You might not know this if you're watching the pod for the first time, but I actually keep tagging them both in alternative solutions. I think I'm about that far away from getting blocked by Vic Rush at this point.
And I'm encouraging it, and Vic's like, please make it stop.
Comes around, I'm like, oh, why do I do this to myself? I could just say I'm busy, but then I kind of get into it once we get going.
And then like when
I
edit it and I send it to you after, you're like, oh, I love it, that was fun. But like in the moment, like, well, I actually had a bad back the next day.
I've been injured 3 times and we've done it 3 times. So
I had a dislocated thumb and you were like, let's just carry on.
I thought
like,
100% success rate in a way though.
Yeah, great. I quit rugby and now I'm doing acrobatics with Amy.
Literally.
Hey, that's a new side hustle.
Acrobatics with Amy. Oh
there
my
you
god,
go, got your new name.
Yeah.
Right, last question. Gemma, close off the pod for us today. What are your predictions for the Women's Six Nations this year?
So, look, I think we're still in a situation where the...
Sorry.
Look.
Okay, look.
I think we are still in a situation where the Red Roses are going to take the crown. But I want to add in a big old but there, because
every single other team in that Six Nations is getting more and more exciting and also more and more competitive to the Roses every single year. Yeah. Like, Italy have got some amazing momentum going. They've got some real talent. B. Rigoni, who she... I swear you can almost see the like numbers and the lines flashing up for her
so
as she
strategic.
Plays.
So strategic, yeah.
Brilliant brain. You've got like the Scotland women. I mean, I love them with all my heart. They've got some amazing characters. And I would say like no one on that team would not die for that jersey. You see it every time they play, the heart that passion. Team plays with. Mm. Ireland, I'm just excited to see more of.
Yeah.
You know, again, some amazing talent coming up through. And obviously kind of changes over with leadership and captains. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see more from Ireland. Wales, just some of the nicest girls I know on that squad.
Yeah.
You know, some of my favourite people just in rugby play for Wales, and I'm excited to see them again. So, and France, just the talent again within that French squad. I think that we may get a team just come out of the blue.
I hope so.
Do you think anyone will beat England and they won't take a grand slam this time? I'm not convinced we're there yet.
No, we're not there yet, but I think each year we get closer and closer and closer, and I think that each year again we see more teams rattling the Roses a little bit more. Like we saw it at the World Cup last year, the Fijiana, and I think this was so the spirit of rugby for me. The Fijiana came into that match, look, they're coming against England, best women's team in the world. They knew it was likely not going to be a win, but the way that they played their fiery, flary Fijian rugby, you could see the Roses kind of went up for the first half of that game, and that's the first time I think I've seen that team really like thrown out a little bit.
Yep.
And again, I love England, you know, I want them to win, but it's exciting to see teams give a bit more of a challenge, because
it's more entertaining like when it's competitive at the end of the day. Like 100%. I did like the last final with France, where really they come in really strong and it was really exciting that first half. And I think if you can get rugby that's like close and competitive, it's just more exciting to watch. But yeah, I think you're right, there might be some dark horses, and there's definitely like particular players in some of these other nations as well that are definitely like that at that level. So yeah, I'm excited as well. And I just can't wait to sit there as a fan and just be in the atmosphere and watch it all unfold again and just see the game hopefully hit some more record-breaking crowds as well. But yeah, so exciting.
England, Ireland at Twickenham. That's going to be the one, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. Might be good.
Awesome. Guys, thanks for joining us. Gemma, thanks for coming on Slightly Offside. And thank you for everyone who has made it this far.